Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The concept of stewardship is one that has been largely lost to our time and our culture. We understand ownership, borrowing, leasing, and mortgaging, but have little knowledge of stewardship. Yet it is a crucial concept in the Bible. Scripture tells us that we are to regard all that God gives us as if we are stewards, not owners. This is true of wealth. It is true of talents. It is true of opportunities and children and spouses and property and businesses and everything else. Where God has given richly, much is expected in return. At no time does God give us full and final ownership of what he has given to us. He has given us but the opportunity to be stewards of his gifts. In the book, The Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien writes about a kingdom called Gondor, which for many years had no king. While waiting for the rightful heir to come and claim his throne, a series of stewards had been placed in charge of the land. The steward in charge at the time of the events described in the book is named Denethor. He has two sons, Boromir and Faramir, both of whom figure prominently in the story. As a steward of the land, Denethor had the power of the king, but without the title and without the full measure and honor. He was able to make decisions and to pass judgments. He received the respect and admiration of the people of the land. His primary task was to do whatever was best for the land in the absence of its rightful ruler. In all that he did, he was to remember his position, to remember that he was not and never would be the king. As a constant reminder of his temporary position, he was forbidden to rule from the king's throne. Awe fell upon him as he looked down the avenue of kings long dead. At the far end, upon the dais of many steps, was set a throne under a canopy of marble, shaped like a crowned helm. Behind it was carved upon the wall and set with gems an image of a tree in flower. But the throne was empty. At the foot of the dais, upon the lowest step, which was broad and deep, there was a stone chair, black and unadorned, and on it sat an old man gazing at his lap. That man, of course, was a steward. Where the king was allowed the full honor of sitting upon the throne, surrounded in splendor, the steward was consigned to rule from a plain, unadorned chair that sat at the foot of the throne. Denethor was not a very good steward. He dreaded the day that the king would return, for he knew that with the return of the king would come his own return to obscurity. He jealously guarded the power that had been given to him and did not look forward to that day when he would have to relinquish the kingdom to its rightful ruler. This attitude affected his every decision, and he often ruled based on his own desire for preservation rather than on the basis of what would be best for the kingdom he was sworn to protect. Denethor went beyond the care of his office and became corrupted by the enemy. His abuse of what had been entrusted to him eventually led to his own corruption and downfall. Stewardship is more difficult than one might think. How tightly we have liked to cling to those things that we regard as ours. How tightly we cling to our money, and how quick we are to set up in the hopes of uncertainty riches. How difficult it is to release our children to the care of God, knowing that we are but stewards of them for a short time that God grants them to us. How prone we are to hold fast to all of the wrong things. How hard it is for us to understand that we do not occupy the throne. No, we are those who sit in the steward's unadorned stone chair, far below, in the shadow of the throne. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus warns us about the corrupting power of possessions and status. All that we have should be viewed under the rubric, gifts of God, used for His glory, for His eternal kingdom. But the allurement of pleasure, ease, and status of life, as well as keeping pace with our neighbors and co-workers, make decisions regarding our possessions difficult. It is very easy for us to begin to see what God has given to us as our own, to be used as we will for our own good. The stewardship passage for this Sunday is from Luke 12. In this passage, Jesus is called upon by a hearer to speak to his brother about dividing his inheritance. But Jesus warns the company, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Now, the brother in the story was treating Jesus like a rabbi, asking him to be the arbiter of the family estate. But Jesus sees clearly that he's not really being asked to arbitrate, but to advocate for the man against his brother. So rather than choosing sides, Jesus warns the crowd about greed by telling them a parable. He tells a story about a man who had a fruitful harvest and had to decide what to do with his overflow. He'd done nothing wrong. He hadn't acquired his wealth immorally. He'd simply been blessed by a wonderful harvest. Now he was responsibly building in order to store what God had provided for him. But we see his error when we see how his abundance has become his own rather than a stewardship given to him by God. 5 times in verses 17 to 19, he speaks of what I will do. He refers to my fruit, my barn, my goods, and my soul. He is not looking to share his abundance, but how he might keep it for his own private use. His plan is to ease into life of self-satisfaction, eating, drinking, and being merry. But God says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Of course, the answer is not the man who thought he was set for the future. The main issue in the parable is not the man's wealth. It is presumptuously treating his wealth as his very own, to use as he wishes, as he pleases, as his own personal pleasure and enjoyment. When this, of course, our material possessions can replace God as our most prized possession. And when we lose sight that what we have been given by God as a stewardship for his eternal purposes, we risk becoming self-centered and self-destructive. Jesus concludes this section by describing God's creation. He says, "Everything in God's creation is provided for abundantly by his Creator. Nothing in God's creation has to do to work or toil for the basic needs of life." Jesus says, rather than worry about these basic things for our life, we are to seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He encourages and reminds his listeners, "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." After all, as God's sons and daughters, it is his kingdom that we should be building upon as our ultimate destiny for eternity. Instead of looking with anticipation to the coming kingdom, Denethor clung to his earthly treasure. Drunk with corruption and power and unwilling to hand over the kingdom, Denethor, steward of Gondor, eventually took his own life, ending his years of poor stewardship. He would rather die than to give up his power that he thought was his. He would rather die than humble himself before the king. Denethor's son Faramir took his father's place as the next in the line of a long line of stewards. And no sooner did he do this than Aragorn, the heir to the throne, returned to Gondor. Faramir was faced with all that was so important to his father, would far more be like his father, or would he be a faithful steward? Faramir met Aragorn in the midst of those assembled, and he knelt and said, "The last steward of Gondor begs leave to surrender his office." Then Faramir stood up and spoke in a clear voice, "Men of Gondor, hear now the steward of this realm. Behold, one has come to claim the kingship again at last. Here is Aragorn, son of Arathorn. Shall he be king and enter into the city and dwell there?" And all the host of the people cried, "Yea," with one voice. Moments later, when the new king had been crowned, it is Faramir who leads the cries, "Behold the king, behold the king, behold the king." Faramir was everything his father was not. He was a good and faithful steward who looked forward to the return of the king and who was willing and ready to hand over what he had been entrusted to its rightful owner. Each of us has a similar challenge. No, we don't oversee a great realm waiting for a king finally to take over and rule in our place. But each of us has been given an earthly stewardship by God in terms of relationships, spouses, children, property, businesses, and our overall wealth. Will we view these things as God's blessings to be freely prepared and given over to the God for his kingdom? Or will we treat these good gifts as our own, to be used for our own ends and for our own glory? It is said that Queen Victoria, who reigned over England for 63 years, said, "I wish Jesus would come back in my lifetime. I would lay down my crown at his feet." Would you do the same? Will you lead the chorus of "Behold the King"? God, give us grace this week to see his kingdom and his glory and all that he has given to us. And by God's grace, as our stewardship on earth is complete, may he so transform our hearts that we too might joyfully be able to sing with Queen Victoria as we return to God, "Behold the King." Amen. Now let's remember the Lord, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "More blessed to give than to receive."